I am reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in this place, so they sat down, about 5,000, well, this text says in all, but 5,000 men. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. And he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him in the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward where they were going. Here ends the reading of the word. So for a few weeks, we are going to jump over to the Gospel of John. Sproul also has a commentary on the Gospel of John, so I will continue to look at this book through his writings. The Gospel of John is very different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those three are referred to as the Synoptic Gospels because they give a synopsis of the life of Jesus. The Gospel of John is the most theological of the four Gospels, and 2/3 of the book of John is the last week of Jesus's life. Also, John has the most extensive revelation of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. If you recall, last week, our scripture verses were from the Gospel of Mark, and the verses surrounding our scripture for this morning. So I guess the lectionary writers did have a plan after all. I questioned it last week, but I see it now. So first, a little trivia. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels. Feel free to share that with your friends this week. You know, a little lunchtime conversation. So John begins our reading today by stating that Jesus is at the Sea of Galilee. He also mentions that the sea is called the Sea of Tiberias, because in the first century, Herod Antipas dedicated a sea on its shores to the reigning emperor, Tiberius Caesar. So this is the name that the first readers would have been familiar with. A large crowd is following Jesus. We saw that also in the Gospel of Mark. In Mark, we read that Jesus is performing many miracles and healing the sick. But so far, in the Gospel of John, there's only been one miracle recorded. So Sproul makes mention of that with John's statement in verse 2, a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. John also makes a special mention of the time of year, Passover, which is confirmed when John writes that Jesus had the people sit down and there was a great deal of grass. It would only be springtime for there to be grass in this place. And John always makes a point of connecting the events that he records with the Jewish feast being celebrated at the time. Now Jesus went up the mountain and sat down with his disciples. I can imagine Jesus walking up the mountain and then turning around to sit down and seeing how large of a crowd there was. Our text this morning says, when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him. Now, our reading this morning from NRSV was said there were 5,000 in all, but the King James says there were 5,000 men. So there were probably closer to 10 to 15,000 people following Jesus at this time. That's a lot of people. It doesn't say that Jesus had compassion on them, like in the Mark text that we read last week, but he must have, since the first thought was to feed them. So, you know, Jesus is always teaching his disciples, teaching them about the kingdom of God and teaching them about who he is. And this is one of those tests. Hey, Philip, where's the closest grocery store? Philip looks at 15,000 people and says, what did he say? It'll take 6 months' wages to feed this crowd. I'm sorry, I agree with Phil. I'm not handing over 6 months' wages to feed this group. Philip couldn't see past the logistics of feeding that number of people. He's thinking money. I'm thinking, how do you get the food to all of them still hot and edible? Then Jesus speaks to Andrew, who also falls short in his thinking. Andrew's starting to get it. He comes forward with this little boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, which were actually the equivalent of 5 crackers and 2 sardines. Barely enough for this little boy, and he offered his food up to Jesus to feed the masses. Barley, Sproul makes note of, is the lowest quality flour. So this boy was poor. He wasn't walking in with a Pepperidge Farm loaf of hearty grain bread. He had a store brand Wonder Bread. Andrew can't picture how this little bit of food is gonna feed all those people. So then Jesus gets to show him, all the disciples and the crowd, who he is. He is God incarnate, the same God that fed the Israelites from the dew in the wilderness. Jesus said grace, passed the food around, and then packed up the leftovers. The people ate enough food to be satisfied. It wasn't just a snack or a high tea. This was a Thanksgiving feast. And then the leftovers filled 12 baskets. We don't know from the text why 12 baskets. Numbers have a lot of symbolisms in the scriptures. But a few thoughts are, Sproul says it could represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the complete way in which their covenant God met their needs. And I've also heard it said that the 12 baskets were actually for the 12 disciples. But no matter what the meaning, Sproul says this miracle sets the stage for Jesus to teach that he is the bread of life and the bread of heaven, which we'll get into more next week. The miraculous feeding of the people made the people think that Jesus was a prophet like Moses and made them want to take him by force and make him king, just like Satan. When he offered to make Jesus ruler of the world, Jesus again rejects the crowd's attempts to crown him, and he departed to the mountain by himself. It was probably a lot easier for Jesus to slip away alone than when he traveled with the 12 disciples. When evening came, the disciples got into the boat to cross the sea. You may recall from a few weeks ago that I said it was safer to cross the Sea of Galilee at night because the storms would blow up during the daytime. Sproul says the sea sits in a wind tunnel. So the disciples are in the boat, the storm comes up, they are terrified. And they saw Jesus walking, yes, walking across the water. This is one of those times when Jesus allowed his divinity to show. We can't tell from the text if Jesus meant for the disciples to see him so that he could teach them another lesson, but Jesus was able to use them spotting him to teach them, and he said, "It is I." The word Yahweh is, "I am who I am." And this is what Jesus says, "It is I." And they welcome him into the boat, and they were immediately at the other shore. How cool when we let Jesus in our boat, we can experience less resistance, less storms, and arrive at our destination. Not always without a little storm or darkness, but he gets us through whatever we are going through. So we had two stories of God meeting the needs of his people in their hunger and in their fear. Those are still our two biggest fears. There are so many people right now with food insecurity. Barbara's always collecting for our food bank. Thank you. I saw a great Facebook post today. It was a picture and it had two buttons. And the one button said, "End world hunger." And the second button said, "Spend 10 minutes in space." We make choices with what we do and who we are. So the people in our gospel today were satisfied with their earthly needs. The disciples were experiencing fear in the moment in our story. And there's so much, we are so much like them. I have a refrigerator full of food. And right now, I'm not afraid of anything. But then those change. Will I look to God to help me? My boss frequently says there are no atheists in the foxholes, and it's so true. I visit patients, even those listed as no religion, who ask for prayers as they wait for test results or are going for a procedure. Sometimes those prayers spill over to requests for help financially. Sometimes those prayers extend to their families and what they're going through. And the beautiful thing is that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, gets into the boat with them during those times and brings them safely to the other shore. Amen, and invite Jesus into your boat this week.